Welcome to the Mentoris Project podcast, covering mentorship books and more. In this podcast, we interview the authors of a series of books where we meet the men and women who mentored Western civilization. This is Dr. Roseanne Welch. For more information, visit mentorisproject.org. Our guest today is Robert Barbera, author of How to Jumpstart Your Way to Real Estate Wealth, a how-to guide for those ready to take the step into owning properties for rent as their primary or secondary source of income. Welcome, Robert.
Thank you. Good morning.
I'm going to start right away at the very beginning, which is, how did you learn the art of rental property success?
It all goes back to experience, the trial and error of plunging in and really getting involved. You know, a person can be a navigator in a car, and they can be a passenger in a car, and only the navigator knows how to drive. The passenger can look and look and look and never know how to actually drive a car. So it's all about experience. It's all about trial and error to get involved, and then it becomes the real world of apartment house ownership, probably true of anything else.
There are those who talk about a thing and then those who just jump in and start doing it and learn as they go.
Exactly right.
I think that makes sense. You can talk and talk and talk and then never get involved in something. Beautiful. So then how did you make the decision between whether it should be a residential property that you invested in or a commercial property?
It was no accident, because when I started to be an apartment house owner, after the first purchase, which happened to be a residential apartment house, I wondered about the other kinds of opportunities, whether I would be in a strip mall or in a industrial property or a commercial property. And when I looked at it, I realized that the investment possibility of an apartment house residential was far more lucrative, because the other way to get bank loans and real estate loans and so forth, you lost the opportunity for leverage. So in the residential, I thought, well, if the banks figure they'll make a larger loan in proportion to what you're buying, that the banks must know, and therefore I must know, if the bank knows, that they will give you more leverage in buying a building so you could get more building with the money. So the resource of monies available went further in a residential than they would in a commercial. So back then, it was roughly 20% down. With the other kinds of properties, it was 50% down. So the difference was no question in my mind.
I understand that. That's a vast difference in what you have to put together for what the profit will be.
Exactly right, yeah.
Interesting. And what about the aspect of it that in providing apartment residences, you're helping people find homes versus simply a business or a factory having a place?
Well, the other part of that is that the nature of a residential versus commercial is that on a residential, you have the opportunity to find more people that want to rent an apartment than you do commercial or industrial. And of course, both are good. It all depends on how you enter into the situation, how you develop it, and how you plan the future to do with your investment. So I don't talk down at all about commercial or retail, but I'm so hot on the idea that in a residential, you may lose a tenant here and there, and then the ability to finding more people is a lot easier than in the commercial world or the industrial world. And I've seen properties in that latter segment vacant for the longest time, and here they socked away more money to buy it, and then they left with long-term contracts trying to get it re-rented. So to me, I like dealing with people, so you don't have that in the other investments like you do with real estate. You're dealing with people, there's more available. I also felt too that maybe a person can lose their business in the retail or commercial place, but they have to live someplace. So I always felt that there was more stability in a residential property.
Sure, because people have to have someplace to go at night.
Exactly.
I love that idea. Let's talk a little bit about the ways that you're able to choose, hire managers, and train them. Because I don't always hear people talk about training managers.
Yeah.
But how do you do that to make sure that they're ready to succeed both for themselves and for the tenants that you've provided?
Well, when I kept buying buildings, I learned rather rapidly that they may have been trained on their previous manager. They may have been good or bad for the previous manager. But I had my own way of doing business, and I always felt that I would have to hire the person, so they would be beholden to me that I hired them. So unfortunate for the manager that was in the building, I had to let go right away. I knew that retraining someone my way would be difficult, whereas hiring someone as a manager, they would understand my way of doing things, my paperwork, my way of projecting the ownership and the property to be in the best way that I wanted everything to look. And so then the manager had to have a friendly, warm personality. They had to be dressed well, and they had to have an attitude of respect. With all those qualities, then we would go forward and hire someone. If I happen to see someone go sour, and they do, they burn out, they get sour, whatever those things are, we have to decide that they're not good for the building, and we have to move on. Because the bottom line always is what services the building is the most important thing.
I agree with that. I've had bad managers before as well.
Yeah.
It does hurt the reputation of the building.
Sure, that it does.
So what would you say are some of the key aspects of creating a good owner-manager relationship?
I would say that you take them into your confidence, that you explain to them why you're doing things, you prepare them for what is coming on, you definitely respect them, and you definitely want to hear where they're coming from, and so that you can then adjust the situation for the best outcome. And so managers are your eyes and ears to the property, and unless you have that, you'll be in trouble. That they don't respond to you, that they don't tell you what's going on, and we can't have managers favoring tenants over you. So they have to be faithful to you, number one. Their relationship to the tenant is a business structure. Ours is a little bit better than that. Ours is more a relationship of an employer-employee on a friendly, natural basis, that what's good for us will then be good for the building.
I've known some places to have either single people as managers or families. And maybe it was the thing, the wife was the manager and the husband had whatever other job it was. And I just wonder if you had any thoughts about where that worked or didn't work?
Well, it's changed. There was a time when managers had to be seniors and retired. Uh-huh. And so that getting a free apartment or a special rent figure for their apartment and then their retirement income would take care of that. What has changed is the value of the apartment has become so much more expensive that we started recognizing that people had to either work at home and be managers, or that they had a husband or a wife working and that they would take care of the apartment. And then we also felt that they were financially secure in themselves for what they were getting from the building in the way of a bonus, a salary, or a certain portion of their rent to be taken care of. So we always made sure that there was no stretch or an exaggeration on their part to be a manager, that it was very comfortable in being a manager.
Very interesting. I'll have to check with my friends who do that and see. All right, so the other part of the owner-manager relationship is, what are the key aspects to an owner-tenant relationship?
Well, that one is one of respect. You have to listen to someone. There's always going to be complaints. You have to listen to them, what they're saying. You have to truly understand it, and you have to put yourself in their shoes to what that complaint is, what their problem is, what their concern is. When you're sure you think you know, then you play it back, that you let them know what they're saying to you. There's that word communication again. So when you've properly communicated their position, their understanding, then you can deal with the solution to what has to be done for their complaint. It doesn't mean whatsoever that you think they're right. You go along with that until you know exactly what happened. And there could be a time when they are right, and it could be a time when they're wrong. And when they're right, you move accordingly with reasonable expectation. If you still think they're wrong, you can still use empathy, understand them, and then just tell them where you're coming from, and you're the one that owns the property, you're the building owner, you're the landlord, and these are the rules. I've walked into terrible situations, and quite frankly, by the time I leave, we're still friends. You just have to not have anybody out there being malicious, being an enemy, bad-mouthing you or anything like that. You can't let that happen. You can't let them whisper to the other tenants. You can't let them think that they can outsmart you or anything like that. You have to really be on top of it. So having a tenant and walk down the property and somebody say, "Good morning," now you have it. If you have someone that closes the door, doesn't want to pay their rent, and on and on, you can't have a property like this. There's no joy in owning. So you have to make the tenant happy, the manager happy, and you happy. Those three, that triangle, all has to work together.
I wondered if you had any examples of times that you sort of weathered the storms in dealing with clients who were living in your properties and aren't living by the rules.
That is manageable because I do believe that people really like to be nice or make you think that they're nice. And so it takes that communication again, the communication to talk it through, to work it through. I've gone to a bad tenant and I says, "You know, this is my living. This is my business. I want to get along with you." I speak to them in all the sincerity that I can gather, because it is. And I try to work with that person or that individual, because I've met the most terrible characters you can imagine. And I talk to them. And if I can't get to them and if there's a woman or vice versa, I talk to the other side. I try to win them over. And it's workable. It is doable that you can actually work with people, because they don't intend to be nasty. That's just something coming out with some excuse of their own. And I make them understand that this is my living and that this is something that they can enjoy and we can both win from this. People that have intended to do harm, you can change that. You can develop a conversation, a relationship with them. And you could also work on people around them to let them help you in a certain way. In a form, it's manipulation, but it is also a way of working towards the best end for people to be happy. And so when I walk down properties, I'll give you a perfect example. My pool man, who I have many properties with pools in it, he says, "Boy, Mr. Barbera, they love you." I says, "Really?" He says, "Oh, yeah." And I've had other people say, "Well, I can't wait to move into a Barbera property." It's a reputation, and this goodwill carries. And it doesn't matter to get the last nickel. What matters is to have the right person with the right attitude to stay with you. I'm happy to say that I've had people moving from one building that I own to another building I own because they want to be with my company. They want to be with the way that we handle things. And it's very good. We never look at a tenant as the other side. We look at it as an agreement, a relationship. That's the way I approach it. It's worked for me.
What I'm hearing is that you're not just renting properties, you're creating communities.
That's right. Yeah.
I find that the perfect explanation of how it works, because then people are working together.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Have we missed anything that we should have asked? Any piece of advice that a person interested in renting apartments should know?
My concern is that when you buy a building and everything looks right, it's very important to stay interested in the property. Even after you fix something, you have to refix it and refix it. You have to stay with the property. You have to do the best that you can that it's fixed right. You have to employ the right technicians and the right maintenance people. So it's important who you deal with outside the building, that you're bringing them on your property to take care of the property. There's no such thing as trying to get away with something, because if the roof leaks here, you're just going to have to follow through and take care of that. Insofar as record keeping, you just have to stay on top of the record keeping and never get lost with what is really happening with the bottom line and how you're taking care of that. I would say that owning property could be a huge development of wealth. Real estate has been a mainstay forever, and that the rewards are there. It takes time, it takes patience. It can enrich your life immeasurably by either you're doing it as a part-time or full-time. Owning real estate is the bottom line. The purpose for this book was to try my best in giving you situations of how to manage the property, how to make the best of what comes to you, and also to get involved. There's never an end to learning, and you have to always continue on finding out, because new things come along, and then you have to create more understanding, and it's an ongoing thing. But there's absolute satisfaction in the whole realm of owning apartment houses.
That's a beautiful place to end. I thank you so much for this today.
Thanks for listening to the Mentors Podcast, sponsored by the Barbera Foundation, whose mission is to promote positive change by inspiring others to engage in their community. Your host has been Dr. Roseanne Welch. Our music was composed by Patrick Abate, technical direction by Douglas E. Welch. For more information and to read more about the great mentors in history, visit mentorsproject.org and join us for our next conversation.